This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Nearly 40 years ago, the beef checkoff was created. We'll talk with the president and CEO of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, Greg Haynes. He'll join us in just a few moments. Not quite 40 years ago, but over the last 20 years, a lot has changed in the cattle industry. Oklahoma State livestock economist, Dr. Darrell Peel.
It has been a heck of a ride. You know, the industry from a long-term standpoint has undergone a lot of changes. And then obviously the last few years has just been a whirlwind of, call them black swan events or whatever you want to call them. We've just had a lot of issues and things that have gone on. And on top of the normal dynamics of the cattle industry, which are always there. And, you know, this industry doesn't really need any help to be exciting. From that standpoint, there's always lots of things going on.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Greg Haynes. Greg is Chief Executive Officer, CEO of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Greg, great to see you.
Hey, Tony, great to see you. Hope everything's going good.
So let's talk about you first and your road to the Cattlemen's Beef Board. Was this something you go, hey, I want to be CEO of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, and that's my goal in life? How'd you end up here?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been in this role a little over 3.5 years now, so got in just before COVID, so we got to enjoy all of that. But before that, I had worked with the U.S. Meat Export Federation, which is a contractor to the checkoff for, you know, close to 20 years. And so it worked very closely with the beef industry there. And so I was very familiar with the people who were engaged with the programs. I understood how the program worked. And so when the opportunity came up, it seemed like kind of a, you know, a great opportunity and a nice fit. So I was able to work that through and got the position. So I was excited to do that. I mean, I think one of the most exciting things that about when I was at MEF was working with the cattle producers. It's like just such a great industry. The people are so good, and anything I can do to help support that and, you know, bring more value back and keep those ranches in family hands is what I want to do.
Now let's talk a little more about the Cattlemen's Beef Board and really what the role is there for any producer who might not know, or maybe we just forgot.
Right, yeah. So we manage the National Beef Checkoff Program. So every time an animal is sold within the country, a dollar is collected. Half will stay in that state where it's collected, and then the other half comes up to national for, you know, national programming, marketing, research, promotion, things like that. So we manage that whole portion that's collected and comes up to us. We work with 9 contracting organizations that then implement the programs for us. So we really contract out with them and review what they're doing and make sure they're doing everything that they're supposed to do, because the checkoff program, beef checkoff program, is actually made in law. So it was part of the Farm Bill in 86. I think a lot of people don't realize that. So it's very prescriptive on what we can and can't do. And so we have to make sure that we're doing everything that the law says. And, you know, again, marketing, promotion, research, we can't do any kind of lobbying or, you know, disparaging other products or anything like that. We do have USDA overseeing us, so that's big. They make sure that what we're saying and doing is accurate as well. So there's a lot of checks and balances on this program to make sure those dollars are spent correctly.
Obviously, being at an event like the Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show gives you an opportunity to see not only members of the board, but also those who you represent. So what happens here at this meeting? Does it give you a chance to do some planning, or at least get the ball rolling?
Yeah, so our fiscal year starts at the beginning of October, so we've just finished our first quarter. But this meeting is very important for us because, like I said, these contractors are coming out here, and they're giving updates to all our producers about these programs that are checkoff funded. So our board, we have 101 board members. Every one of these board members is on a program committee. There are 6 committees. So there's CBB members, also federation members. So each of these committees has about 80 or about 40 people actually on them, you know, producers that are looking at this. So the contractors are giving those producers updates and talking about, you know, where the programs are going. But this is the opportunity for the producers to also give that feedback to the contractors. As they hear this, they can talk about what they like, or have you guys thought about this, or what about this? And so that helps kind of direct the contractors where they need to go and kind of enhance and continue to move these programs. So this is a super important meeting for that. There's another meeting we'll have in the summer, very similar, and that's where the contractors will bring kind of their final proposals for 2024. But again, all the producers on these committees are giving that feedback. So it's an important process to ensure, you know, the producers are engaged, involved in this. Our board, like I said, 101 people are from all over the country. So the feedback they're getting is very broad and very representative of the industry. So I think that helps really ensure that the programs are doing what they're supposed to do and meeting the demands of the producers.
Let's talk highlights for a moment. Again, you did talk about how just finishing up the first quarter, but have we seen some, are there some success stories out there as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at everything in totality, beef demand in the United States was at, you know, some of the highest levels it's been in 30 years. So, and that doesn't come by accident. There's a lot of other proteins out there competing. You've got all these alternative meats. You know, these companies have had billions of dollars in venture capital and trying to promote themselves and to knock beef down. And we're coming out on head. And I think that's just shows the, you know, the information that's out there, the consumer knows, hey, this is delicious. They're seeing that it's nutritious. They're seeing it's safe. They see that it's sustainable. And so I think that's really helping to kind of keep that demand. So we need to keep pushing that. But a lot of these programs, I think going forward, we've got, you know, the Beef That's What's for Dinner campaigns that are constantly going. 2 weeks from now is going to be the Beef That's What's for Dinner 300 race at Daytona. So that's the day before the Daytona 500, and it's all dedicated to beef. And it's amazing. Just you've got the impact of all the people at the race. You've got all the social media. You got the influencers. You've got, you know, news and radio reporting and all this kind of linked into it. So it really creates a big impact kind of activity that's going to be happening. And that ties in then to all the other campaign and materials, you know, tied into the Beef That's What's for Dinner. So all this is leveraged, you know, moving forward to keep that in front of the consumers and having them select beef.
There are certain areas of any organization or business where you can look at the scoreboard, if you will, and say, okay, we're moving the needle here, or, you know, whatever analogy you want to use. Is there any way of really evaluating the work that the CBB is doing, and is it evaluated by you, or does somebody else have that scoreboard?
Right. Yeah. No. I think evaluation is incredibly important. You know, we need to show to the producers or who are paying into this that these programs are having an impact. We're not just doing stuff to do it. And so we have a very active evaluation committee. And so every program that's out there has to report back quarterly on set goals and targets that they had set originally when that activity was approved. So they're reporting back on that, and we're tracking that quarterly, and we come out with an annual report too. And that annual report we just actually released 2 days ago. So that's on our website if anybody wants to see it. It's pretty easy to read, but it gives you really a lot of great detail on the impact that these various programs are having. We do that, but another thing that we just started a couple years ago, we call these third-party independent analysis. And so we've hired an outside contractor to come in, and each year we select just a handful of programs, and we do a deeper dive into them. And so the goal here is to look at the programs, like what's working, maybe what's not working. You know, are there other things that we could be doing to enhance this? And so we're not trying to, you know, criticize the contractors or whatever, but I think anytime you have, you know, an outside set of eyes looking at something, it may spur some, you know, some new concepts or different things you can be doing. So our goal with this is just to really drive that continuous improvement, get the biggest impact we can have for every checkoff dollar that we're collecting, and, you know, really get that bang for the buck and create that demand for beef. So all those have been set up to do that. Again, it's very transparent. Our producers can see what's happening with that. And then we also do another return on investment study every 5 years. So we had one done in 2020. We're going to start the next one in 2024. But the impact of that has always been good. You know, the last one showed that for every dollar we're investing, we're really getting $12 back of impact to the industry. And that's pretty significant. So I think all this really shows that the checkoff's heading in the right direction and having an impact on that consumer demand.
Greg, so good to see you. You mentioned the evaluation is available online. So if we want to keep up with what's happening at the Cattlemen's Beef Board, CBB, how do we do it?
Yep, there's two ways. You can go to drivingdemandforbeef.com. So it's kind of a long word, drivingdemandforbeef.com. You can get all the information there. You can also go to beefboard.org. And there you can get all this information. You can see the evaluation reports. You can see all the programs that are being funded. Our financials are on there. You find out about who are board members. Everything's on there. So, again, we want to be very transparent. We want every producer who's paying into this to feel comfortable and trust that, you know, we're doing our best to get the biggest impact out of it.
So good to see you. Wish you the best.
Thanks. No, I appreciate it, Tony. I know you're going to have like a busy week here, but always great seeing you.
Greg Haynes is CEO for the Cattlemen's Beef Board. They're headquartered in Denver. From the 2023 Cattle Industry Convention and NCBA Trade Show, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer health care benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative health care solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
It's been said defense wins championships, but in farming, playing defense doesn't pencil out. When growing cotton, you'll score big when you cut your input cost on seed and have the flexibility to apply multiple modes of action. Growing conventional cotton puts you on the offense because at the end of the season, you'll catch and delete your cotton, which helps save 50% or more on your seed costs next year. Find out why more farmers are going conventional and winning big. Call Brownfield Seed or go online, brownfieldseed.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Kevin Good is with Cattle Facts. He was speaking recently at the Cattle Facts Annual Outlook Seminar in New Orleans, talking about the beef cattle projections from Cattle Facts.
As we go forward over the next 3 to 5 years, you can see from the cycle peak to the cycle trough, typically you have about 1.25 to 1.5 million drop in cow slaughter. What's that going to mean for cull cow values? Obviously, it's going to lift them higher. Trim prices, all beef prices. And then also, as we have the conversation about leverage and margin, obviously that helps the cattle producer as we get into those tighter supplies, not only on the cow side, but as we look at the Fed side too. So the cow market, as we look at it today, looking at strictly at numbers, last year with the inventory report that came out earlier this week was down close to 1 million head, tick over. You can see the forecast as we go through the next 12 months. It's a combination of looking at where we're at today from a weather pattern standpoint, the fact that we've got a heifer on feed population that's about 40% still historically strong, and the weather would all suggest that we still have another 12 months in here. We're going to see some liquidation as we go forward.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
When it comes to farming and dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Greg Haynes with the Cattlemen's Beef Board.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Not a lot of market reaction to Wednesday's USDA World Supply and Demand estimates and forecasts, mainly because there was not a lot of major change. Markets had expected USDA analysts to cut their forecasts for corn and soybean crops in Argentina, and that's what happened. USDA chopping 5 million tons off the corn forecast, taking it down to 47 million tons. That would put the crop 2.5 million below last year. For Argentina's soybean crop, USDA dropping that forecast by 4.5 million tons down to 41 million. That would be almost 3 million tons below last year's production. Meanwhile, no changes as yet to USDA's previous forecasts for Brazilian corn or beans. Both those crops expected to be considerably larger than last season. USDA made very few changes to its U.S. forecasts right after the USDA reports, then very little market movement. Corn up a penny, soybeans down 2 cents, wheat up 4. Gary Crawford, Washington.